So, Nikki, are you excited for this week's episode?
Yeah, it's different. It's for sure going to be something more unique than what we have done in the past. And there's no real hint from last time because we point blank just said what we were doing.
Yeah, so I love that we talk about movies and TV and whatnot, but some of my favorite episodes that we do are episodes like this. So this week we are talking about creepypastas. And so what a creepypasta is, for anybody who has never heard of one or doesn't know what they are basically just urban legends that get spread around online via copy pasting, which is where the name comes from. Creepypasta is basically just like a weird way of saying a creepy story that has been copy pasted. So fun little tidbit of information, and that's what creepypastas are.
Yeah, I am very familiar with urban legends such as Bloody Mary and Candyman, things along those lines, and the creepypastas was for sure a new world for me, just because I've always heard of them. Obviously, Slenderman is one of the biggest ones that I've heard of, just because not only did it have such a unfortunate cult following, I would say, with things that happened, more so with the girl who almost was brutally murdered in the woods. That's a whole nother thing. But yeah, it was very interesting actually taking the time to look up the specific topics that we're covering today. And it's literally goes to say that we're going to cover some of the bigger ones for sure.
Yes, I'm very excited to get into it. But before we get started, how have you been this week, Nikki?
I'm tired.
I feel that. I feel like October has just been hitting me like a brick with like everything that I need to do. Just so much that has needed to get done as far as getting stuff done for TikTok, YouTube. Me and Clay actually just last night did something really crazy that I'm looking forward to for the channel. We ate the, have you heard of the I think it's Pockies or Pocky? I'm not sure if I'm saying that right or not, but it's the one chip challenge. Have you heard of this?
I don't follow a lot of the challenges on TikTok just because a lot of them have been so extremely dangerous, or a lot of them are very silly. Tide Pod challenge in particular, but yeah.
No, this is I wouldn't say perfectly safe. If you have a sensitive stomach or are like incredibly sensitive to spicy food, I definitely wouldn't recommend this challenge. But the one chip challenge is basically just I believe it's a yearly challenge that happens with this chip company. They make hot chips, or I'm unfamiliar with the company. I only know them for this one chip that they do, and it is supposed to be one of the hottest chips in the world that you can eat. This thing, when it came out of the package, like literally just got seasoning everywhere. It was a hazard to look at almost. And we both ate a bit of the chip. Clay ate most of the chip. I basically ate a crumb and I still cried.
I'm going to have to purchase this just because this is me preparing, getting ready for when me and Clay go on the Hot Ones.
Yeah. And I think Hot Ones actually ate a chip on their channel as well on YouTube, which is kind of where we heard about it the first time ourselves. And it's just, it scares me. I don't ever want to do this again.
Fair enough. I promise I won't ever make you eat anything hot.
I don't recommend this chip. I don't recommend it. But if you wanna get it, this is what it looks like. It's scary.
It looks like a board game.
It's not. So it's literally got like, it's packaged. There's only one chip in here, and it's supposed, like, the box is a coffin for our listeners. So it's literally a coffin with a skull on it, And inside the box, there is the chip, and it's literally sealed shut. It recommends that you wear gloves, but for some reason doesn't come with gloves. And then it has a little poster in it that is your reward for eating the chip.
Interesting. And how much does that single box of one chip cost?
$5.
That's it?
Yeah, it's just $5.
That's not terrible for only a single chip.
Yeah, exactly. And especially as gimmicky as it is.
Well, I'm just pure curious. Maybe I'll pick it up one of these days.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into it. So I want to, before we get really into it and started, I do want to say that this episode is going to cover some pretty scary, creepy topics that can get into some pretty sensitive areas. So if you are light of heart or can't, there's so many trigger warnings I could put at the beginning of this episode. So I'm just going to say most, if not all of them at the top of this, be ready. It's about to get really scary and creepy. Also, spoilers for some creepypastas. I don't know if we need to do a spoiler warning for this. No. Yeah, it seems kind of weird, but we are going to be talking about some creepypastas. So if you want to go explore and discover those for yourself before listening to this, go do that and then come back. All right, so which one do you want to talk about first? Because I know we talked about three different creepypastas in particular. So which one did you want to talk about first?
We should start with Slender Man, just because that is one that's been around for some time, and it got a lot of, as I was saying earlier, a lot of negative attraction just due to the following it had, especially with the unfortunate events that happened with a sleepover in particular. I won't get too far into the details, but these three girls were having a sleepover, and two of them, well, they all three were talking about Slender Man, and two of them lured this one girl into the forest where they brutally tried to kill her to essentially give her to Slender Man, because they strongly believe Slender Man was real. And it's a whole court case, and I'm pretty sure the documentary is still on HBO Max. If anyone is looking to watch it, it is on there. It's actually just mind-blowing of how far and wide Slender Man went and how serious so many teenagers and people took it.
Slender Man is a huge example of a creepypasta that got way too out of hand. It's a very early creepypasta. I wouldn't say the earliest one, but it's one that pretty much, if you don't even know what a creepypasta is, you've probably heard of Slenderman, just because it got so big. And like Nikki said, it got to the point where there were teenagers and children essentially who believed that this thing was real, when at all it really actually was this guy who in an art class was submitting a horror photo, essentially something that was kind of supposed to be mundane but scary, and he created Slenderman in this photoshopped photo, and it took off from there, and it ended up getting all these stories written about it online. People came up with their own ideas behind Slenderman. It spun off into a bunch of different type of Slenderman creatures as well. So there are things like Siren Head and other just tall, creepy, come after you in the woods kind of creepy creatures that spawned from this.
It also got turned into a movie as well, and it had multiple games. I hope this individual who did originally create this got some kind of payment for all of this that came out of it. And that's the thing is, myself, besides you just telling me right now, I had no idea how far back and where this originally came from. And that's so interesting that it came out of a person who did this for art class. And it is just one of those things that went so viral so quickly, because this was the mid to late 2000s, I would say 2012 or 13 is when this really started to pick up and take off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's just so wild how far it's come, and people love Slenderman too, not just in a bad kind of way, like we saw manifest in unfortunately the crimes that those girls committed, but in much more fun ways, like you were saying with the games. It inspired not just Slenderman games. There were other games that were definitely inspired by Slenderman that were their own kind of creatures, their own kind of scary, spooky kind of lure you into the woods and capture you creatures. And it's, and on top of it, I've gone to conventions. I've seen people cosplay Slenderman, mm-hmm. and it is so wild. I've seen people get on literally they stilts, get on yeah. stilts, yeah, so that they can be tall and menacing. And it's just so cool to see all the different fan arts and creations that Slenderman has inspired.
And that's the thing about urban legends like these in particular, is because they start as one thing, and then once the telephone starts to pick mm-hmm. up, it starts changing small tidbits here and there. And it was so wild just because the believability that people were putting behind this fictional character, that he was somebody who is real, he lives in the woods, and he's gonna come after you at night if you don't do what is asked of you or if you see him. And it's just wild how much
he's really one of those ones that feels like the most like an actual urban legend, and not just like a creepy rumor or story yeah. that's being shared online over and over again. It really felt more like one of those Bloody Mary kind of things where
yeah.
everybody kind of knew about it, but nobody really understood like the actual lore behind it and the actual what's actually going to happen to you if you get caught by Slenderman or you're being watched by Slenderman. So I think that's really what made Slenderman so special, is because Slenderman really feels like the urban legends that creepypastas have their roots in.
Yeah, and it's something that I have to agree as well, because something such as Bloody Mary, it's been around for so long, and it's one of those things that you're too scared to actually do it. Has anyone actually fully stepped into the bathroom with the lights turned off and said, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary?
I'll do it with the lights on. I've done it with the lights on so many times. Won't do it with the lights off.
I think that's just the thing too about a lot of these urban legends and a lot of the creepypastas too, is because they get redone after so many times, where Slenderman is something that will just live on for such a long time as mm-hmm. long as people keep retelling the story.
Exactly. And he's just going to grow from here, and he can only get taller.
Yep. Very true. Very true. It also leads into one of the other creepypastas that we had talked about. I had absolutely no idea what this was or what the joke around it was, anything, is the Squidward suicide. And I finally found a video on it on YouTube and watched it. And I was thinking, there's no way this is real. And of course it's not. Somebody was making it up. But how did this person not get any kind of copyright infringement for this? For essentially taking a real episode of SpongeBob and butchering it the way they wanted to, let alone, it made me go back and think, was the episode really called that?
No, this whole thing is probably one of, I when I say this, just the reaction that the fan base had towards this particular creepypasta, to the point that it reached the actual creators of the actual show, makes it one of my favorite examples of like how the internet can take something so silly and mundane and like turn it into like this like kind of fun thing, with the creators of the things that we love. So it's just so interesting how it ended up manifesting in the show itself. So what Squidward Suicide is it is an episode, a lost episode creepypasta, which there are other examples of this. Another one, I don't know why so many of them revolve around suicide, but there is another one called Suicide Mouse that is about Mickey Mouse in Disney. And there's a few others as well. But what Squidward Suicide is, it is a lost episode of SpongeBob that supposedly an intern at Nickelodeon, it was his first day at the studio, and he was sitting in on an airing of an episode, and something happened to the episode where it got altered and changed, and instead of the episode that everybody was supposed to be watching, they got this really scary, demented version of a SpongeBob episode where people are throwing insults at Squidward's clarinet playing, which is normal for the show, but even these kinds of insults they were throwing were really out of pocket, even for SpongeBob. And then Squidward ends up going home, crying his eyes out. It shows a lot of disturbing images of children that I'm not going to say what it was. It was just incredibly terrible. And then it cuts to a graphic image of Squidward looking at the camera with these creepy red eyes, which that image is like burned in my brain. When I watched this creepypasta the first time, that got ingrained in my brain so vividly. It was so scary. But in everybody in the room supposedly was freaked out to the point that the showrunners had to get involved, and they tried to figure out what happened, and all they could find was that the episode got altered like 48 seconds before they would watch it, which if you know anything about video editing or audio editing or any kind of editing whatsoever, you know it takes way longer than like 48 seconds to upload anything. So it's already unbelievable, and that's all they could find. And they couldn't really figure out where the episode came from, and just figured it was a disgruntled employee and left it at that. And later on, somebody on Reddit came out and claimed the episode. Of course, there's no real way of proving that it's them who did it, but they said that they did in fact make it up, and that it is not a real lost episode of SpongeBob, and that this footage does not actually exist. But it is crazy to think about, and crazy to think that there would be something so creepy that could happen in a studio that they would try to cover up. But
yeah. It was just wild too, the fact that Nickelodeon and the creators of SpongeBob said, all right, we're gonna add this in and just beat them at their own joke, no less. And yeah, it's so interesting because we do know all of the controversy surrounding the Nickelodeon studio that have recently come up. But something along these lines, there'd be no way they would be able to potentially recover from something like this if it actually happened. Again, I still want to know how this creator got away with this, because they still did take video content from an episode of SpongeBob and turned it into what it is now, a creepypasta, and they didn't get in trouble for it. They didn't get fined for it.
I feel like SpongeBob and the creators of SpongeBob understand that SpongeBob has a very special relationship with the internet, and with specifically with millennials and Gen Z. Yes. And we all really understand SpongeBob and all of the memes that come from it. And so I think what really it comes down to is when they see things like this online, I don't think they want to come down on it, because I feel like they understand that this is part of what makes SpongeBob so great, is that we all connect with him on this really just lulz kind of level. And I think they appreciate that, and I think that's why they even something as creepy as Squidward's suicide, I think that's why they decided to definitely keep that and say, hey, like, we see you and we see what you do, and kind of almost like say, like, hey, like, we love that you create stuff because you love SpongeBob so much.
Yeah, that episode was definitely very freaky and very what in the world did I just watch? It was something that was very unique that I was just very shocked to see something like that come out. I guess nothing is shocking that's on the internet anymore, of course. And that's what is so weirdly disturbing about that episode in particular is because, yes, the specific photo that you see of Squidward is now going to be ingrained just into my brain for the rest of my existence.
It's so creepy.
I know. And that's also what makes Slender Man so creepy is his character, just how he's drawn, or it is drawn, is just so unique that it's a specific, just, there's an essence about it that you can't forget it.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And because just those two are alone so iconic, I would say, in the creepypasta world, for not a positive iconic, but a very deep, dark iconic. This next one that we are covering is so interesting that I watched it and honestly, I found a couple of different versions of this one and I tried to find the most short version of it just because this one, I just said, this is too far-fetched. It didn't get me. We're talking about the Backrooms one. It was just such an interesting concept because, again, from that creepypasta narrative where it's been copy and pasted so many times, I saw it in a few different ways. I saw it first where this coworker liked to play pranks, and then he got off on the elevator one floor, and then the elevator doors closed, and they were magically gone. And then I saw it from where these teenagers were filming some kind of short film. And then all of a sudden the camera kid gets lost into some weird back rooms that are yellow. And there's this monster and it's funny. I just thought it was such an interesting dynamic that it didn't freak me out. I just said, are we still going in circles here? Does it ever stop?
Okay, so for anybody who is unfamiliar with what the Backrooms is, I picked this one just because it is a newer creepypasta. It's still kind of growing and finding itself, which I really enjoy about it. And I like the creepy, I just love the creepy aspect of it. So I really wanted to cover this one. And what's so interesting about it is where it started and, again, how it's just growing, where people are bringing their own lore into the idea and doing their own thing with it and coming up with their own ideas for how far this huge backrooms areas go, like Nikki said, because it just goes on forever and ever and ever and it seems like it never ends. So there's so much that you can do with this. So what the Backrooms is, the best way I can think of to explain it is to think of kind of like a video game speedrun, where speedrunners will, you know, jump and spin and do whatever, where they're trying to clip through a wall or something.
You know what it does remind me of? It reminds me of the screensaver, the early Windows screensaver that literally would go through like just the brick rooms.
Yeah. That's a good example of what it could be too. Yes, exactly. So again, to get into this Microsoft screensaver, you have to like kind of find the right spot in reality where there's kind of a hole and you fall through it and end up in the back rooms. And they're just this creepy empty space that goes on and on and on. And some people think that there are multiple levels. Some people think there's only one level. it, there's changing, like the rooms will change the further you go. It starts as this like gross yellow manila walls and moist flooring and gross fluorescent lighting that just won't stop buzzing. And then it becomes this storeroom eventually, and it just keeps going and going and going, and you might find creepy monsters that just want to eat you or whatever it is that they can get their creepy hands on, and it's just super weird and creepy, and you don't know what you'll find there, and you don't know how to get out.
It's very reminiscent of the book series, more so the first book, The Maze Runner.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it also is feeling like, especially when you get to the point where this individual finally gets past all of the yellow office room areas and he comes to that gray silver break where it's just straight down or straight up. And that's what it reminded me of, was the wall in The Maze Runner where it's I can only go so far up.
Mm-hmm. And it can just, and that's like what is so scary about it, is you never know what's going to come next. And even if you can manage to get up that wall, what are you going to find there? What is, yeah. Is it really going to be the way out, or is it just going to be even more of this? Or are you going even further deeper into your own doom?
You know what would be a very interesting analogy for this one too, mm-hmm. if you really dug deep? I could see this being somebody's mind, where you could really be, you're your own worst enemy, where you could really sit there and just think and think, and your thoughts never end, and you just put yourself in this hole of this dark, depressed state. And that's what it feels like a little bit too.
And that's what's terrifying about it, is because even if you can figure out a way to keep yourself sustained, what are you going to do there? What are you going to do to keep yourself from becoming a victim of your own mind? Because there's nothing to do, but like other than just maybe count, but that's just going to drive you insane as well eventually. So that's what's terrifying about it, is less the monsters and the grossness of it all. Just if you can manage to survive, what are you going to do?
It's essentially, you can either let your demons essentially keep chasing you, or you can fight your demons head on, or let them absorb you whole, or you can just keep running. I like that. That is actually, I don't know, that's what I took away from this now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, but yeah, I really like just how new this one is though, and that it's still really growing and trying to find itself. It feels a lot like, and this other thing I'm about to reference isn't necessarily a creepypasta, but deserves a honorable mention here, since it is very much online based and based on people basically writing their own horror stories because they just like to write horror stories for fun. I think it's called SCPs. I think I got the acronym right. But what it is it's just creepy stories that people come up with about creepy creatures that you need to keep an eye out on or watch out for, so that they don't get you, so you can know the signs and stay safe. And that's a lot what this one feels like, just people taking a story and building off of it. And it's just so interesting to see what a community of horror lovers can create, yeah, based on that. And that's just honestly what I love, not even just about the back rooms, but about all of these creepypastas and about creepypastas in general, is just the creativity that they generate and inspire in people.
It's wild, because every now and then I'll see a video pop up on my TikTok feed where it's this crazy ghost story. That's the ones that really reel me in, is where they're talking about specific video footage that they've caught of some kind of demon acting up or ghosts or something. And hey, some of them I'm sure are very real and have happened. And then other ones I'm thinking, That's just good editing and movie magic. And that's the thing about these is they're not those kind of videos. They're urban legends.
And that's another thing, too, that you're bringing up is that none of these are professionally made. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean,
no.
These are just regular people who have nothing like an actual horror movie budget, and the things that they're able to create and come up with, and the movie magic that they're able to use with the tools that they have at home is amazing, and sometimes more scary than what I get out of like Hollywood blockbuster horror films a lot of the time. There are creepypastas that probably cost people maybe $5 to make that have stuck with me longer than most horror movies do. And that's amazing.
That's saying something right there, where it doesn't have to be such a crazy budget of things, where literally it can be something somebody creates in their own backyard, as you're saying.
It's really amazing what people can create and what a community of horror lovers can create when they work together and build on a creepypasta. So it's just good creative writing, and I love it.
There is an honorable YouTube page worth mentioning. It's called Thriller Teller. It is a small independent content creator who makes these cartoon-esque stories, and I love these stories. They are creepy. Sometimes when I'm done watching them, I have to go watch something like Futurama, anything along those lines, because they are so creepy and so scary. You have to go watch them, at least a couple. They're not too long. I think the longest one I'm seeing right now is 15 minutes, but most of them are no longer than 8 to 10 minutes, and they are something else. There's one, without giving too much away, where this woman meets this person, I think if I remember correctly, off of some dating app or something, and goes home with him, and I can't remember how it ends up. I'll have to rewatch it. But either she finds his dead something in his bedroom or something. It's pretty creepy. You gotta watch them. Oh, gosh.
I will. I need something scary to watch for the rest of the night. Anyway, I'm going to get off of this and then go watch those.
I'm going to send you the link, and we should cover this. It's on another episode one of these days. Just a bunch of these, literally cover them and say, which ones did you like?
Sounds good.
This was a very interesting episode, copying and pasting urban legends, talking about these different creepy pastas. And it's a sad but bittersweet moment that's a wrap on season 3.
I can't believe we're at a season 3. We did season 3. I can't believe we are at the end of it. I can't believe we're going to, that means we're going to have a season 4. I can't believe any of this. That's wild. It is bittersweet, but it's crazy to think of that we're going to be closing this out just to get ready for the next one. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we'll be on a hiatus, but not a full hiatus as usual. We'll still be releasing content monthly for everybody, but we won't be back until probably about April or May for season 4, just because I don't know about you, I've been enjoying this time frame just because then it helps us lead into the spooky season, which is nice, and potentially some holiday episodes.
I think it works out perfectly, so I'm excited for keeping this kind of schedule going. That way we can do the spooky season, because honestly, scary movies are so fun to talk about, and when's a better time than October?
Yeah, and those bonus episodes are great too, because they really give us the chance to not only go really out of our scope of what we typically cover, which are the TV and movie reviews, but it gives us a chance to do something completely different. And then, hey, who isn't to say that we can't do a review once a month either?
Exactly, exactly. We like movies, we like TV, and we like pop culture. So we're going to talk about whatever the heck we want to talk about.
Because it's our show.
Yes.
Well, on that note, our first bonus episode into this interesting hiatus, I'll call it, is none other than the main man, Clay.
So Clay will be coming back, and I'm so excited about the topic that we will be covering this time, because it is one of my favorite kind of parallels in me and his relationship, which is going to be the only hint I give for what next week's episode is, which I know is very vague and very broad and doesn't really tell y'all anything, but maybe Nikki has a better one. No, shaking her head at me. Okay. but it's going to be a very fun episode. Both me and Nikki are going to be very knowledgeable about one thing in particular, and Clay's coming to the table with a lot of knowledge on his contribution to this episode. So be ready. It's going to be a great comparison episode.
Hey, don't discredit me for what I potentially know about this content.
Oh, I'm not saying you don't know anything about it. I'm just saying that if anybody will be the expert in the room on that particular topic, it will be Clay.
But hey, it will be a good time. It will be definitely a good time.
So until then, everybody,
we will catch you on the lighter side of things.
Bye! If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcast.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
Send shivers down your spine.
I don't know what the next line.